You're listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Eastern Pennsylvania. Welcome everyone to the monologue with Kemal Dizsiz. And I was chewing something, so I started the show a little bit late, but here I am now. This week I wasn't really sure if I wanted to do the show because I really didn't really have much to talk about. I didn't have a monologue, but here I am, and it's just, even if I don't really have anything to say, it's nice to be sitting here, and it's a little interesting because sometimes when you know that some people are listening, for example, a friend of mine from Turkey listened to my last show, and I was like, please don't. I don't want you to listen to my show. And it makes you feel as if you need to do something different, which is kind of interesting. We were talking about that with a friend the other day. I was saying that how a lot of YouTubers tend to change their content according to what will please the more general audience, and they tend to lose their personality. Not completely, of course, because we always have a bit of our personality in what we do. But it's just interesting how their content changes. But at the same time, my friend said that that's not necessarily because they are not aware of this, but they want to make their audience happy. It's more like, they're trying to be nice to people. They're trying to make more people happy. So they're not trying to get more out of it necessarily, but they're trying to just make more people happy by changing their content according to how the general audience is interested, which is a very nice way to look at it, because that's basically saying that these people are trying to be kind and these people are trying to be nice. And here I am still talking about this stuff. But I just wanted to mention that how it's a little interesting to have listeners, and like I was thinking about what song I could play today, and like I know that I kind of want to play this song, but at the same time I'm thinking if that would really be something that I would want to play on the radio, but I guess I do. But yeah, here I am. I think that's a good start. I know that I kind of like left the YouTube topic up there somewhere, but I'm sure we can talk about it again. I've been listening to more like, some Ed Sheeran actually, which is interesting because I've never listened to him before. I mean, of course, we all listen to him here and there because he's so famous now. But especially I was listening to Lord of the Rings Hobbit song and Lord of the Rings soundtrack too. And then, one of the songs is by him. So I decided to listen to that. The songs that are related to Lord of the Rings are, in a way, soothing. But at the same time, they're not suiting in the way that I want right now. They're more suiting in the way that is, it's cool. It's not necessarily my mood or anything. It's just like I couldn't really find the song that represented my mood. There's also this another one. If you could give me a second, I will find it. Literally, just a second. And this other one is actually really close to how my mood is at some points, of course. But at the same time, it's a very religious song. So as I'm listening to it, I really enjoy it. But at the same time, when I pay attention to the lyrics, I'm like, what am I listening to? But it's of course, as someone who doesn't really pay that much attention to lyrics, I believe it really, I really enjoyed the voice of this person. This is Audrey Assad, somewhat of a YouTube singer, I believe. I'm not necessarily sure if she performs anywhere else. Also, her video clips on YouTube are very beautiful landscapes. It kind of reminds me of this one video that I keep watching. It's it's 6 hours long, and it's the in front of a train in Norway. They put a camera, and you can just watch it from Bergen to Oslo. So it's beautiful because it just starts in, like, you know, in a small town, and then, you know, you go through like green fields, then as you progress towards Norway, then you start to get to higher altitudes, and it's snow, you're passing by a lake, and then, you know, you're stepping by a city, you see people, you know, waiting for the train, then it keeps going. It's just such a interesting experience, and they also, I believe, share really nice facts about it. I do believe I've talked about this before, but apparently either in Norway or Sweden, every year, you know, a lot of people suicide in train tracks, like they just jump in front of a train. So approximately, if you were to become a train driver, which I should look up the name for, you will run over 2 people a year, approximately. And yeah, I mean, of course, you're not technically running over them. They're jumping in front of the train, and you're more like helping them, I guess. Maybe helping them. But it's interesting how traumatic that would be. And what are we talking about? Going back to music. I'm going to play both songs. I think I first want to play Misty Mountains Cold by, you know, again, a Hobbit soundtrack. Then I want to move on to Audrey Assad, and like, I want something in between this. So if you know, please let me know. Like, I've been listening to the Skyrim soundtrack a little bit, but it, you know, that's not what I want. Let's start with the Hobbit one. And I do have some, you know, things that I also want to talk about tonight. I actually had a really nice conversation today at lunch. It was about people who want to do the right thing and who are essentially nice people but tend to do the wrong thing. And I'm sure I've talked about it before. It was a nice conversation, and my friend couldn't really answer me, and that was nice to see, because it wasn't something that I wasn't just confused about, but it was something that would also make other people like, she said that there's such a large gray area, and, you know, that was nice to hear, because that's the area where you just don't know what's going on. But I also wanted to talk about something else. I wanted to talk about something that I've talked with someone last night. Actually, it was an interesting topic, and I wanted to touch upon it. It's about being free. It's not something that I previously thought about, and I really don't really think about what to talk about here before I come here. I mean, I was thinking about it in the bathroom, but here I am now, and enjoy the song, The Misty Mountains Cold by, I guess, The Hobbit. Far over.
mountains cold, to dungeons deep and caverns old, we must away ere break of day to find our long forgotten gold. The pines were roaring on the height, the winds were moaning in the night, the fire was red, it flaming spread, the trees like torches blazed with light.
Welcome back. That was the Misty Mountains Cold, and yeah, it's you can really feel that there is a lot of heaviness, even, but it's too heroic, and who feels heroic most of the time? Like nobody gets up in the morning and goes like, hey, you know, our long forgotten cold of gold. Sigur Rós. Aha. Yes, this song. Oh, I've been trying to remember this song for such a long time. Okay. We have one more song and I think one more song that I have in mind. I want to move on to the other song that I've just talked about by Audrey Assad, so that you could get an idea of what I really mean. Anyways, just enjoy.
Peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast
was Audrey Assad. It is well with my soul. I hope you can kind of see what I mean. Of course, these are very different songs, and it's just that soothing tone in the back. I wish I knew how to Google that. like the correct terminology that would bring me all the goods of the Google that is related to these kinds of songs. Actually, the next song that I was planning to play is also somewhat similar. It's Svefingla. It's a Swedish song by Sigur Rós. But it's 10 minutes long, so I think I would like to maybe kind of start talking a little bit before I move into that, because after all, this is the monologue. And yeah, you know, I was thinking of maybe starting with that, like, being free conversation. And as you may realize, this week I'm feeling a bit more in place. I just feel like today has been like generally today has been a nice day, and so I went to the gym. I feel good. I didn't have the choir, but anyhow, who cares about my life, huh? Let's talk about. Okay, I was thinking of maybe first. Like, there are multiple definitions of being free, and I wanted to start with the one that is most likely to be. I think I discussed this a little bit previously, but you know, let's think about it in terms of more like Jean-Paul Sartre's perspective, is the how we are so free that it is painful. and that's at least with my lack of philosophy knowledge to the extent that I have personally thought about it. And I like to think that the reason that it is painful to be so free, and you may be thinking, how are we so free? What is free about how we are living? Because if you think about it, we, you know, start life, live with our parents, go to high school, you know, everyone is same, go to college, try to get a degree, then get a job, then make a family, then buy a house, maybe pay mortgage, then, you know, maybe travel a little bit after you're 60, then die, you know. And as much as that's the general trend, I mean, that doesn't mean that those people are unhappy, and I think it's very normal to be happy that way too. And I think it's even unnecessary to consider those people to be less, because I think life by itself is quite exciting, even if it is monotonous. because, you know, there's always... it's kind of difficult to, like, look for something more grand in what we're living in. Anyways, I what am I talking about? Going back, if I don't digress again, going back to topic of being free, I was just thinking that it means that it's painful because, for example, right now I could just go and be homeless in New York City, or I could start hitchhiking, and I could work as a waiter somewhere, or I could, you know, start pursuing literature. I could start reading a lot of books, stop doing engineering. Would I have a problem with money? Yes, of course, but that doesn't mean that I have these paths in front of me. And I remember reading this beautiful kind of like not kind of like a poster, cartoon poster, and he was talking about how no matter what our choices are in our lives, that we are in the end going to be happy. And he was showing two examples of a lifetimes that a certain person has. And in the poster, it was the first time timeline was the man getting a job through college, then, you know, building a family, buying house and such, just living a normal life. And the second one was that he drops out of college and starts traveling, meets someone in, you know, one of his travels, and starts living in some exotic place, like maybe like Hawaii or something. And the last picture that these both timelines had was the same man with the happy face sitting in a sofa. And what it just means that no matter what choices we make, we will again be happy. And that's interesting because I think I talked about this very recently, but there was this article that talks about how when asked, a lot of people say that their happiness level is 7, and even if it goes down to 3, with time it will come back up to 7, because we tend to move on, we tend to forget and such. And same for being too happy. If it is 10, it will go back down to 7, because 7 is the number. 7 is a good number. I actually hate 7 because if you ask someone, please try this, like give them two numbers, say 27 and, you know, 44, they will choose 27. Say, you know, 74 and 53, they will choose 72. It's 74. It's just like if the number has a 7 in it, they're more likely to choose it. But, you know, don't overdo it. If you say 77, it's going to be a little bit too much. But like 17 to 62. You know, even as I say it, I prefer 17 to 62. But, you know, that's just something I would do in high school to have a little bit of fun. But going back to topic, going back because we jumped twice, I just want to say that it's somewhat terrifying how many choices we have. For example, you know, last week I had a friend who invited me to church because she thought that I was stressed and troubled and such, and I appreciate that. And it is possible for me to, for example, start pursuing a religion, that is again a path that I could walk on, or I could it's just there are so many things that we could do. And but at the same time, that this is the difficult part where it gets a little confusing, because I had this discussion with a friend of mine last semester. We were talking about how do people have the choice, you know, if, for example, someone comes from a very I'm gonna be a little racist towards white people right now. If someone comes from a very American background and just doesn't really tend to see diversity, they may think of those people as the characters they see in movies or like on internet. It's just because of their environment and because of their background, they may have a hard time making the choice of accepting those people. Or like, let's give a different example. I am gonna say that if someone is religious, it may be difficult to believe that people who are not religious can be just as nice. That was actually one of the questions that I've asked to the friend who invited me to church, and you know, her response was quite interesting. But anyways, that's not the topic. But I just wanna, and these things, let's think about, for example, making a choice that it's just what I'm trying to say here, that if someone is making a mistake, in your opinion, it may not necessarily because of they are unknowledgeable or just they're not smart or they're not a good person. It could be just because of the it is so difficult to get out of that preset environment and background that we grew up in. I have a lot of those growing up in Turkey, and I constantly try to break them, and it's quite interesting. But how it ties back to what I was saying is that even though people have all these choices, we tend to live this, let's say, simple life. I'm gonna put it in under the noun adjective, simple. And I do that very often, and I know, and it's probably a bad thing, but it's just I'm gonna say that a simple life consists of, you know, college, work, family, and, you know, death. Which is a kind of a sad way of putting it, but, you know, it's that I don't mean it that way. Only if I could talk without stopping myself. But and since we choose this life so often, so many people choose it, I think it also shows that it is difficult to choose something else because of the background and the environment we grow up in. Because we see so many people living in such situations, and it's even scary. You know, I did a backpacking trip myself, and actually with a friend, and it was amazing. It was the most amazing experience of my life, and it wasn't difficult. It was easy, actually, and I did it by myself too, and I did it for like 38 days, and it was 9 different countries, 20-25 different cities. I don't know the exact count, but what I just mean is that when I started doing that, the first days, I was terrified. I was terrified that I won't be able to find a place to sleep. I was terrified that I was not going to be able to have my friend have fun. I was really scared that food is going to be an issue. I was scared that financial situation was going to be an issue. But at the same time, I wanted to dwell into it. I wanted to jump into it. And it's interesting because the first time I did hitchhiking was similar. I was really scared and I didn't know what I was doing. But after I did it a few times, I just realized that it's actually very normal. And what I'm trying to say that by giving these examples is that we tend to it is very normal that a lot of people cannot do these. Like when I talk about couch surfing, just staying at a stranger's house, my friends most of the time say, you know, are you crazy? Isn't it dangerous? But it's the most amazing activity of my life, basically. And that just shows that how it is difficult to actually have a choice, and how, as much as we, you know, my opinion of that freedom that Sartre is, you know, maybe hinting on, of how we have the freedom to do anything, is actually not true in a way because of this situation and our backgrounds and such. And of course, you know, those affect us in a lot of other ways. But that was one thing. And how it ties to the other definition that I was talking about is that the other definition that I wanted to talk about was how people are tied down by things around them. Now, this is more like a more specific. For example, if I'm living here in Lafayette College and I'm tied down here by, you know, I need to get my diploma, and I am probably going to miss the Purple Cow ice cream place in Easton, you know. And that's something that chains me down. And it is so strong. And there is this Turkish poetry that I have previously actually translated on last year, actually, last semester. It's under plus 90. Under the monologue test drive, but it just talks about how, for example, a street dog that you see every day may be something that you will miss if you leave that place, or it is very difficult for most of us when we leave our house for the first time, leave our families, because we're so used to it. And it is such a drastic change to be able to have our own room, or to be able to live with, you know, other people in the same room or the same house. And it's just like those changes in our lives are somewhat difficult because of how so many things chain us down. For example, it's a very big topic, and talked about it, you know, a lot of movies talk about this. Actually, Manchester by the Sea, a recent movie that I've seen, kind of hints on this too. And the example that I'm going to give is that how in American families, it is very difficult to move into a new city because of how the kids have their friends and how they have their activities, and how if they leave, it's going to crumble and it's going to be a very difficult period for the kid. And that is a very valid concern, especially in US, with people being so judgmental. It's very interesting, actually. In Turkey, it wasn't an issue for me, or maybe it was, and maybe I am affected by it, because I changed my elementary school 6 times, and during my high school my parents moved twice more. But it's just interesting how that is something that chains you down. So that is something that takes away your freedom. And of course, you know, kids are very prominent example of that, but let's think about something much simpler. Even any single friend that you have would be chaining you down, because you wouldn't want to lose that friend. Family, work, going to a restaurant that you like even it's so crazy, because you don't even need anyone in your life, but you could like the food at this specific restaurant, and you may get sad that if you leave or if you change something in your life, that you will not be able to go to that restaurant. So it is something that chains you down because you like that restaurant. So basically, anything that is pleasurable, or maybe just the opposite, anything that keeps you away is something that chains you down. If that street looks too sketchy, maybe you'll never see the beautiful graffiti that was around the corner. And it's just interesting. And what is it to be free, and do we want to be free, and what would be the sacrifices to be free, and is it worth being free? Boom, boom, boom. I guess that's a good way to end it. I don't know. I never really thought about these before. I was just coming up with these things on the spot. So I probably, you know, need to do a lot of thinking about this before anything. But I think it was a nice topic to touch on. And really, it was something more, less personal. So I think I just felt more excited to talk about it, just like something that's new and something that's not necessarily just to put something on the table and just examine it rather than try to maybe even journal. Like, because I did realize that I kind of use this show somewhat as a journal, which is quite interesting. I just came up with a nice conversation topic, but I forgot. Anyways, maybe we should play music. Let's play this music that I was talking about, Swengler, I don't know, Swedish by Sigur Rós. Enjoy, and I hope maybe you remember how the previous songs were, and maybe you'll see how I remembered this song after those two. Enjoy. That's the third time I said enjoy.
It's you.
There were two more minutes, but I get a little tired of it, and I just wanted to talk a little bit. And I found out how many people are listening right now. apparently, 5 people are listening right now, which is quite crazy. You're listening to WJRH, 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. I was planning to talk about something that I have actually had a conversation on the other day with a close friend of mine. And it was something very interesting because it is something that bothers me when I do it. It's something very, very normal. Well, okay, I'll just tell you what it is. It's just when we... At least I'm going to talk about what I've talked about in the conversation. When I write something such as my personal statement that I have submitted to college, or during my interviews with, you know, companies, how I talk, or when I talk to people maybe from career services or Markle Hall, or even just simply my EC professors, it is interesting sometimes, but I'm gonna go on top of the personal statement. First of all, my personal statement was about me. I am personally very interested in photography, and I still do very much enjoy doing it at times. But I like to spend, like, I like to do it as a hobby. It's kind of like going to the gym. You gotta like spare some time, and you gotta go out knowing that you want to do photography. Because if you just carry your camera everywhere, then it gets a little annoying, because you're not really enjoying the moment, and you tend to want to record everything, and your friends kind of get irritated. And it's interesting, because I was talking about journaling the other day, and a friend of mine told me that I should journal, and I've tried. I really tried. And at the same time, I think journaling in a way is similar to photography, about capturing the moment. Because also, I'm digressing so much right now, but journaling is similar, because if I were to, let's say, go out and like sit somewhere and take out my journal and start writing in it, even if I'm talking about things that I think about at that moment, which could be maybe about my friends, maybe about some emotional stuff that I am thinking about, or it could be about something that amazes me. I remember I wrote so much about the stars when I was a freshman. Not necessarily about like the scientific part of it, but more about like just coming up with metaphors and such. And I'm not going to share them here, so don't worry about it. But it is in a way to capture the moment and capture your emotions. And it is in a way somewhat... maybe not enjoying the moment, which is very interesting, because I think journaling is a wonderful thing, and I wish that I had a journal that was packed with all these things that I went through, and all these thoughts and experiences. Just it would be so nice to see how I grew up, because, you know, every 3 months, every month, even when we look back, we start to think about, oh, I was such a different person a month ago, which is probably not true, but at the same time, we also feel that way. But that's a whole another topic. But going back to what I was talking about is that, and I'm abruptly gonna stop talking about how journaling is kind of like capturing the moment, and maybe that's why I stopped doing it, because I wanted to enjoy my thoughts at the moment instead of writing them down and enjoying them later. It's kind of like, this is gonna be so cheesy, but I'm not sure if I saw this in a movie or something, but it feels even as if you are trapping the moment instead of letting it go. I was talking to a friend of mine, and I had really been happy seeing how my friend was happy, and how my friend had such wonderful experiences, and it was nice to listen to it, and I could have recorded it, and it would be such a wonderful memory to remember and watch later. But it was more valuable to just let it happen and just enjoy it as it happened, and just letting it go, which is very interesting. And I think it's a different pleasure to just not take the picture and just let the moment go, because it makes it more valuable. It's kind of like if you have this friend, and if you tell them that they are, you know, let's say, nice every morning, after like five times, it's not going to have any meaning. But if you say it, you know, when they did something, or when maybe once a month, it's just when you feel it more strongly, then it would have a more meaning. That's why when we hear compliments from our friends, we tend to not take it as granted, but we take it as granted. And but when a stranger compliments us, that's a big deal. Or if a stranger makes a bad comment about us, that's a big deal. I forgot entirely. I have no idea what I was talking about. but I guess I'm just going to say that it is sometimes... Okay, I was just going to compare that to how letting the moment go would make it more valuable in a sense, because it is a one-time thing instead of something that you could go back and look at. So it's kind of like if a friend is saying you're nice every day, that's something that you can get anytime. But if they say it rarely, that would be something more depending on the moment. And that's going back to the other topic, which was... This is why I need someone to keep my... like, write down what I'm talking about and be like, yeah, you were talking about this. Go back to here. I have no idea what I was talking about. I kind of want to go back and listen to what I was talking about and see. I was talking about how capturing the moment. Let's listen to a music and I'll remember what I was talking about. And I actually really wanted to play this song. This is Nights in White Satin by the Moody Blues. Now, their most famous song. Even though the Moody Blues are much more enjoyable if you choose an album and just start from beginning and go to the end. And that will, I promise you, that will be a very enjoyable experience. It is as if you are going on a trip, maybe even. Though you could also do it if you're high or something. But enjoy. This is the Nights in White Satin, the Moody Blues.
Nights in white satin, never reaching the end. Letters I've written, never meaning to send. Beauty I'd always missed with these eyes before. Just what the truth is, I can't say anymore, 'cause I love you. Try to tell me thoughts they cannot defend. Just what you want to be, you will be in the end. And I love you. white satin, never reaching the end. Letters I've written, never meaning to send. Beauty I've always missed with these eyes before. Just what the truth is, I can't say anymore, 'cause I love.
Welcome back. That was Nights in White Satin by the Moody Blues. As you may have realized, it's such a nice, beautiful song. And the lyrics are very nice too. Lyrics. And I'm not really going to talk about the lyrics. It's just listen to Moody Blues, people. It's good. That's all I want to say. And I do remember what I was talking about. I was actually going... I do have an idea how we digressed into that direction, but I was talking about my personal statement and how I was going to connect that to something else. And I think that would be a nice last topic, because I don't want to do this until the morning. And I could, but I don't wanna. But yeah, so my personal statement, which we talked about photography, was one of my hobbies, and I wrote it in a way that, as if I was looking to my pictures from my past. I remember one of the pictures was the first year in high school, and another picture was supposedly in a bus going to the next city that my parents moved to, because that's what we did most of the time, because we didn't have a car. So we would send all the stuff from the house in some sort of U-Haul, but in Turkey those are driven by drivers, and we would just take the bus and just find our stuff there waiting for us next day, and we would move in. They would carry it in. Anyways, why am I talking about this? But yeah, that was one of the pictures, me moving to so many different cities, high school being one, and there was another one, and then the ending was like, oh, and I hope to take another wonderful milestone picture of my life in Lafayette College, kind of, which is very cheesy, but it was a very nicely, I'm gonna be a little narcissistic, but like, when I read my personal statement, I would think to myself, I would say that this is a personal statement that would get someone into college. But when I also, that's my topic, because at the same time, when I read my personal statement, it wouldn't necessarily feel completely as me, but it would feel as if a Kemal that is twisted in a way, or presented in a way that is more suitable for the position that I'm applying to. I mean, of course, you know, we all do that. You know, when we have a cake, we put a lot of things on it so that it would look nicer. Or if you go to a restaurant, if you buy steak, they put like little green leaves next to it so that, you know, the color contrast makes you feel more fancy. And, you know, it doesn't change what the steak is, and you don't eat the greens. I mean, I do because I paid for it, but you probably don't, or most people probably don't. But what I'm talking about is that when I approach, it is a little unsettling to know that when I'm doing something, I'm not necessarily representing myself in full disclosure, like fully, not truthfully, because everything I've talked about in my personal statement were the truth. It's just, it was, would I talk about it in that specific way if I actually wanted to talk about it? I believe not. I believe that I would mention more difficulties that I went through. I would maybe mention few specific details that would maybe give a negative perspective on the person's statement. So the person who is in the personal statement is not necessarily Kemal. That's actually something that I was kind of referring to. I was talking about how that I watched this cartoon Steven Universe, and in Steven Universe, the songs really represent the characters that sing the songs. And I also talked about how if you just were to listen to the song, you would have a good idea of what kind of a person is singing that song, and you would see that it perfectly matches their personality. And it's just interesting, and I'm sure a lot of people do this, or maybe it's just me, to see that how I, because I didn't just do this in personal statement, I do it every day even. I did it in my interviews. I would talk about my Europe traveling as my biggest accomplishment, which is, I mean, yes, it is my biggest accomplishment, but I would talk about that because I would know that that would make me stand out. And I would talk about it in a way that wouldn't really, like, for me, what was more special about it was not what they are interested in. What they were interested in are the necessary skills that they're looking for. So, or like if I'm talking to my electrical engineering professor, I know that I should avoid saying some things, or, I mean, of course, these are common courtesy and it's just, but I'm talking about more specific detail, just even the expressions we give or how we say we're sorry. Like, I have many times in college, even when I knew that I was right, said that I was sorry to my friends or my professors or a lot of other situations, because I knew that that was what they wanted to hear so that I could get what I wanted. So, I mean, I'm talking about situations where there's something that you can get out of the situation. Could be a friend giving you their homework, which is plagiarism, and I never did it, but or it could be maybe someone has a really nice cupcake and you want to eat that cupcake. For example, in high school we were cooking sausages right at the camp, and I said to my friend, watch this, and I my friend, okay, let's say friend one and friend two. And I'm really close with friend one, and friend two is cooking his sausages, not my sausages or our sausages, his sausages. And I said to my friend one, watch this. And I said to friend two, oh, you're cooking those sausages really well. You know, you must be experienced about this. So, and I knew that that specific friend would be happy to receive that compliment and would offer me sausage. And he did do that, and I and I got sausage and I shared it with my friend Juan, which was crazy because he wasn't special about cooking sausages. We all cooked it the same way. You just put it on top of fire. But I knew that that was what he wanted to hear so that I could get the sausage. Which is a very, even a disgusting way about thinking about relations we have with people. But I just want to talk about more about like things similar to a personal statement. I don't know. It's just interesting to see that I, in a way, twist how my personality is, or like show certain parts. And I'm not saying that this is something bad. I'm just saying that it is interesting to see this, and it is something probably we all do, and we all are victims of. I myself am a big victim of this. I am very gullible. I tend to trust people really quickly, and I really tend to think that people are really like just genuinely nice, which I still believe. It's just like I know that I am a victim of this too. And that like sometimes I even recognize that someone is saying something just so that they can get something out of me, and I just don't want to bother with it, and I just still give them what they want, which is like if they just asked me, I would have again done it. It's just interesting to see how we do this. But you know, I kind of got out of what kind of a conversation we had with my friend, because we basically talked about our personal statements, and I think I expanded more here about how it is interesting that we tend to do such a thing as to play with our ourselves. You know, just the way we represent ourselves, not and yeah, that I think that's pretty much it. I wasn't necessarily trying to come to a conclusion with that, because I don't think there is a conclusion with that. And I think it is inevitable to do that, because I'm not gonna go talk to my boss about how I've had, you know, whatever, maybe had trouble in high school with people socially, or like that's not what I'm gonna talk about. I'm gonna talk about how I took care of the situation that would impress them so that I can get a promotion, which is sad, because then their status or the things that I want are chaining me down from being free. So that's a way to I guess kind of tie the two arguments together, how we are chained down by our desires and we need to act in such ways that doesn't necessarily represent us. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm gonna quickly check how many people are listening. 5 people are listening. It was 6 at one point. And I think that was a nice conversation, and I think I want to maybe play another song and end it. I want to play Eagles. I like to play One of These Nights. It's one of the songs that I really enjoy, especially since I got a record player. I recently haven't had the chance to listen to some records, but especially last year and my sophomore year, this was my go-to record, and I would specifically come to this song One of These Nights and I would listen to it. And it's also a album name, I believe. So I hope you enjoyed. I don't really want to stop talking. I feel like I really enjoyed the show, and today I feel like I actually had the show that I wanted. Like, I feel like the previous weeks, it was more like me trying to get back on line, just like get myself together. But I feel like this time I actually legitimately had nice conversation, I mean, monologues about multiple topics that I've personally found to be interesting and have enjoyed sharing. So I think this was what I really intended to do with the monologue. So if you have enjoyed this show, I hope to make it more like this. And if you have enjoyed the previous ones, then you talk to me in person. And I'm sure we can arrange something. Well, have a good night. You're listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. This was The Monologue by Kemal Disis. And our last song tonight is One of These Nights by the Eagles. Enjoy. Have a good night, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the show. Bye-bye.